Jesus Christ and for his. The only hope for this generation is for more people to follow Jesus Christ and for his followers to be salt. This generation is for more people to follow Jesus Christ and for his followers to be salt and light in their community. More people to follow Jesus Christ and for his followers to be salt and light in their community. Pastor Rand, Jesus Christ and for his followers to be salt and light in their community. Pastor Randy will discuss the Bible solutions to help us know what God says about the problems we face today. Salt and Light is a ministry of Temple Baptist Church in Statesville, North Carolina. Here's your host, Pastor Randy Mitchell.
The Bible says in the book of Proverbs, chapter 20, in verse number 6, it says, "Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find?" Good morning and welcome to Salt and Light. I'm Pastor Randy Mitchell, and this verse that I just read, the reason that I opened up the broadcast with that verse is because that is the verse that came to my heart. I believe the Lord put it on my heart as I introduce a first-time guest with us here today, a friend of mine, a guy who has been such a blessing to me and my ministry as well as Temple Baptist Church. We're joined this morning by Brother Carl Williams. Many of you in the community, you are familiar with Brother Carl. He's pastored several different churches in the area, and he's been part of our temple congregation now for, I guess it's going on several years, I believe. And so, Brother Carl, how are you this morning?
Oh, I'm fine, Pastor. It's a joy to be with you today. Yeah. I look forward to doing this. It's a new experience for me.
Yeah, first time on the radio, I believe, right?
That's right.
Well, welcome to radio. Welcome to Salt and Light. You were telling me a story just before we started the broadcast here this morning that I thought would be very appropriate. You were talking about how that when you first started preaching, it was before they had PA systems, before you had speakers and microphones and magnifying. And you said that you had mentioned to your wife, Sister Diane, to give you a signal if you weren't loud enough. Tell our listeners about that. I thought that was a pretty good story.
Yes, I really didn't know how I was projecting out to the congregation because there was no sound system in those days. And I told my wife, I said, when I look at you, if I'm not quite loud enough, you just pull a little bit, tug on your right ear, and that'll cue me to speak up a little. So I was preaching away, and I was checking her out every little bit, and I glanced back at her, and she was scratching on her neck just below her right ear. And I was trying to figure out, was that mean I'm just not quite loud enough, or what it meant? And while I was trying to decipher that image, I lost my train of thought. After the service, I said, "Diane, what did that mean that you was kind of scratching just below your right ear?" And she said, "Well, it meant my neck was itching."
That's right. You were getting signals, lost your train of thought.
Lost it, yeah.
I have had times where I had signals like that that I had all pre-planned, thought I was being so smart. It seemed for me, every time I do something like that, it just backfires on me, you know. And my wife has tried to, you know, when we're in a public setting, and she's trying to get my attention and some subtle little indicator of something that I need to know, and I don't get it. And usually I'll go, what do you mean? She's like, "No, I'm trying to be subtle." And so she doesn't even bother sending subtle signals to me anymore, because I'm just straightforward to a fault. Some people would just call that stupid, but I like to say I'm just straightforward. But I thought that was a pretty good story. But it is a joy to have you on Salt and Light, Brother Carl. Here in the second break, after the first break, I should say, I want you to share your salvation testimony. But before we get that, I'd like to, for our listeners, there's people out there that maybe aren't familiar with you and your ministry. You've been around Iredell County. You've pastored a number of churches. I know the Lord's still using you to preach some. And I know there will be times where you and Sister Diane are not at church, and I know that either you're sick or you're probably out preaching somewhere else. And so I know that the Lord's using you. You've been a huge blessing at Temple. Just all of your hands-on tinkering ability. I've told people before that you should have gotten a job as a consultant for the producers of MacGyver, because you could have gave them some really good ideas. I've worked with you, seen how you fix stuff, and I know you're pretty humble about it, but you amaze me at how you're able to figure out how to fix things and make things work. But tell the folks about your ministry and a little bit about your background here in this community.
Well, I was born here in Iredell County and lived here all my life. But after high school, I went to Catawba Technical College, as it was known then. And after that, I went to work for Duke Energy and worked for them 18 years and got a little hands-on experience with wiring and checking out equipment and stuff like that. And that got me interested in what you call tinkering. And I do love to fix stuff. I enjoy that. And preaching a pastor, sometimes when you get through preaching, you don't know what happened.
Yeah.
But when you mow your yard,
preaching's kind of like tinkering.
Well, the results is a lot harder to discern sometimes.
No doubt about it.
Yeah. Yeah. If I mow the yard, I can look back and say, well, that's mowed. And I get through preaching and look back, what happened?
Fix anything or did just break stuff?
Exactly. But after I'd been with Duke Energy for 18 years, I felt the call into the ministry. And my wife, bless her heart, she was a stay-at-home mom, even though she was a registered nurse. She came to me one day, I guess she sensed it, the Lord put it on her heart, to tell me that she would be willing to go back to work if I wanted to go back to school. And that took a lot of praying. I had 18 years with Duke Energy, had seniority, top pay, two young children. Very young. So that was a tough decision, but the Lord blessed. It wasn't always easy to be gone during the week to go to school, but that's how I got started in the ministry. And we made it through that, and then my first pastorate was here in Statesville. I was the associate pastor and a senior pastor, retired, and unbelievably, they called me as pastor. So I was there about 18 years.
Okay.
And then I went back to my home church in the northern part of the county and was there for a number of years. And then did some fill-in preaching and still do. Preacher may be sick or vacation or homecomings. Mostly probably funerals. That kind of thing that I've been more accustomed to doing. Yeah.
Now, if I recall, when we first got acquainted, we were talking about you went to Bible school. Didn't you go to Fruitland Bible Institute? We talked about, because my dad went 2 years there. Probably you had some of the same teachers as he did. And
yes, I did have some ones.
See, Fruitland Bible Institute in Hendersonville, that was the whole reason of my family's acquaintance with North Carolina. I was just a freshman in high school, and so that was the reason we left Idaho, moved all the way across the country so that my dad could go to Fruitland Baptist Bible Institute. And so that's what got us here the first time. I've been here more than once. The Lord's just had me back and forth between Idaho and North Carolina. Hopefully this will be the last stop, but only God knows about that. But you had some of the, what year were you at Fruitland, do you recall?
86 to 88.
Okay, so you missed my dad by about 6, maybe 7 years. But folks, stay tuned. I'm going to ask Brother Carl to give his salvation testimony. You're really going to enjoy it, so hang in there. Welcome back. Our special guest this morning is Brother Carl Williams, a man who's pastored here locally in Iredell County, is from Iredell County. Before the break, we were talking a little bit, Brother Carl, about how that back in 86, you went to Fruitland Baptist Bible Institute, and I'd mentioned that that's what brought me and my family to North Carolina the first time. My dad went there, and it would be 80 to 82, and so You missed him by a few years. You must have been a little bit younger than him. I know he got right with the Lord a little bit later in life. I think he was pretty close to 40. You said you'd worked at Duke Power for 18 years, so you must have been in your early 30s or mid-30s when you went to Fruitland.
I was actually a 37 when I went to Fruitland, which was the average age of a student at that time.
Okay.
I'm sure the average age has come down some, younger people going.
Well, I remember looking at my dad's class picture, and it's not like these were kids out of high school.
Right.
I think that it was mostly people, men who had already been in ministry for a while, had been pastoring, but they just wanted to get more of a formal Bible education and so forth. And that's the way it was with my dad. He had pastored a little bit in Idaho, but didn't really have any training, any mentoring, any Bible school. And that's when he realized that I need a little bit more than what I have. And that's what brought us here. And I think it's exciting just to share that commonality there. And I know you've talked about some of your teachers, and my dad's favorite teacher was a man named Kenneth Ridings, and
yes.
I'm sure that seems like everybody that I talked to that went to school there, most of them would say he was their favorite teacher, and I know that he's in heaven now. I believe somebody told me that, and he was a faithful pastor. I think Grassy Branch Baptist Church is the last I knew that he was pastoring in East Asheville area. And my father-in-law, even though when I got right with the Lord and went to my father-in-law's church, he was Independent Baptist, but Brother Ridings was a very conservative Southern Baptist, and so him and my father-in-law knew each other and had great respect for one another. And so it's just funny how what a small world it is and all these little connections that God puts in our lives. But what I wanted you to do in this segment, and you don't have to hurry, you can take all the time that you want, but I wanted our listeners to hear your salvation testimony. You know, it's one thing to say, well, I preached and I pastored and I did all that, but none of that matters if we don't know Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. There's so much power in a testimony. The Apostle Paul was always telling his testimony of what God brought him through, and his testimony was way different than mine. I believe you mentioned to me one time after I shared a little bit of my personal salvation testimony that yours was similar, but we never did really talk about that in detail. And so I kind of was glad. I didn't want to know those details, but I want to know it today. And so would you share with our listeners and me how you came to know Jesus Christ as your Savior?
Certainly, and I thank you for the opportunity to do that. One of the great blessings I got out of your invitation was it caused me to go back in my memory and remember those days, and I was really encouraged to bring those memories back, because my salvation was more than 65 years ago. So it started, I grew up in church, had a good godly mother, my daddy not so much so, but a good godly mother, made sure we were in church as children. It was a revival, fall revival. And I was getting under conviction, strong conviction. In fact, during revival, when the invitation was given for another time, I tried to get a good friend of mine, same age as me, to respond to the invitation, but he wouldn't. Well, apparently I got loud enough trying to encourage him to go forward with me that the lady sitting in front of us heard what was going on, and she turned around and said to me, "If you feel like you need to respond to the invitation, you go ahead." And that's all I needed.
Yeah.
So I took off and left my friend sitting there. He did get saved later in that same week. So that's when I was under conviction. I was a child, a little bit older than you, but enough that we were children when we were saved. Like you, as a teenager, I didn't live the way I should have. I'm not going to give the devil any credit, but I got far afield. And that was a struggling time for me in a lot of ways. The Lord was working on me, and in my early 20s, I felt the Lord's conviction so strong again that I yielded to him.
Mm-hmm.
Started going to church good and regular. Left my home church because I had married, and visiting back and forth between my home church and her church, and felt led to go to that church. And the pastor there was a young man, just a little older than me, but we were young in those days. And I had a lot of opportunities. I started off by teaching a Sunday school class,
mm-hmm.
and was really blessed by that experience. I taught Sunday school, and then after a period of time, I was elected as a deacon in that church. And I thought, well, that'll take care of that drawing. Mm-hmm. I'm a Sunday school teacher and a deacon. But that wasn't working. The Lord kept working on me. And the pastor of the church started talking to me about filling in for him. I was already a deacon, chairman of the deacons at that time. So I would fill in for him if he was sick or something. And that was going well. And they voted to what we called it in those days to be licensed into the ministry.
Mm-hmm.
And so I thought, well, now I'm through. I'm done. I'm a Sunday school teacher. I'm a deacon, and I get to preach some, you know.
Yeah.
But the Lord kept working, kept drawing me. And I'd been with Duke Power all those years. I'd joke with them down there. I said, y'all couldn't run me off with a stick. I mean, you know, I've got seniority and good pay, and my wife's able to stay at home with the kids. I'm here to stay. Well, the Lord kept on,
yeah.
And that's how I felt the call to go into full-time ministry, and we moved our membership from her home church to a church here in Statesville that I later pastored. And the pastor of that church was talking to me. I'd fill in for him and preach for him, and I was getting a good response from him and from the people. And as a result of that, I was surrendered to the ministry. And the pastor of the church recommended Fruitland. I didn't know anything about Fruitland at that time. So I started going to Fruitland. It was a 2-year program, like your dad. Kenneth Ridings was my instructor. He had a specially built classroom, and they called it the pit, where you'd go in and preach trial sermons in front of Kenneth Ridings.
Yeah.
And, buddy, he'd critique you, too. I mean, uh-huh. You know. But I did okay with Kenneth Ridings. Before I actually graduated, the pastor of the church in Statesville retired, and I hadn't actually graduated from Fruitland, still liked a couple of months, but they called me as interim pastor, which was interesting because I was going to Fruitland, having to come home on Wednesdays to do Wednesday night, go back to Fruitland, come back on Sunday morning, Sunday night, back to Fruitland.
Now, did you have a place you were staying in Hendersonville throughout the week? Because it was Monday through Friday, if I recall.
Yeah. Actually, Fruitland had nice dorms.
Oh, okay.
Very nice dorms.
They had dorms.
All right. Yeah, very nice. So that made it a whole lot easier
okay. On
that aspect. So that's how I got started preaching.
Yeah.
And had a good experience at Diamond Hill. One of the interesting things about my experience at the church here in Statesville was the relocation. We had a large facility, but it was getting in bad shape. We didn't even own the parking lot. We wanted to renovate the building.
Mm-hmm.
We were told if you start renovating the building, the entire facility would have to be brought up to code.
Mm-hmm.
I was told that was going to be a nightmare.
Yeah.
Usually
with churches, that is.
Yeah. So we, through much prayer and anguish, decided to relocate. So we bought some property, and it took several years after we even purchased the property to get everything lined up to build the new facility.
Mm-hmm. So was Diamond Hill originally a place called like Diamond Hill?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I'm glad that you mentioned that. Diamond Hill Community was actually not in the city of Statesville.
Mm-hmm.
It is now.
Kind of like Western Avenue is not on Western Avenue anymore.
Right. Well, Diamond Hill.
If you're not from around here, if you're new, that can be confusing.
Indeed. Diamond Hill's history was that they were digging a well, actually where the church was later built. And they dug up a very unique quartz rock. I never got to see it. It was a beautiful, beautiful stone, and they took it into town to a jeweler, and he said, oh, wow, that's beautiful. That's like a rough diamond. And the story stuck.
That's why it's Diamond Hill.
Diamond Hill, and at that time, there was a Diamond Hill furniture, plants, Diamond Hill. Oh, they had a well-known baseball team.
Yeah.
Quite a few things that's Diamond Hill. Diamond Hill lumber and all kinds of things.
Yeah.
So when we relocated, we were the last thing to have the name Diamond Hill in that community.
Okay.
Everything else had moved on. But when we relocated, we discussed changing the name, but we all agreed that Diamond Hill was going to be the name that we keep.
To stick with it. You know, it's interesting. That reminds me of when I came here to Temple in 2008. You know, we're on Museum Road. Originally, that was Gaither Road. And so Brother Wilson, the founding pastor, had a P.O. box. Well, the church never did get a physical address because small community people knew where it was. And we actually had to go and get a physical address. But folks, stay tuned. We're going to talk more with Carl Williams after the break. Welcome back. Pastor Randy Mitchell here, Brother Carl Williams. As we continue talking about, Brother Carl, your salvation testimony, your ministry, last segment when you were talking about how that the Lord took you from being a Sunday school teacher, a deacon, next thing you know, you're preaching, filling in for your pastor, and then lo and behold, you go to Bible school, and now you're pastoring. And so this is all taking place back in the 80s and 90s, I'm assuming. And I thought about this verse in the book of Proverbs that says, it's in verse chapter 18, verse 16, it says, a man's gift maketh room for him and bringeth him before great men. And you just giving your testimony, you exemplified that the truth of that verse. When God gives a man a gift, and if he calls, you know, it's one thing to say, well, God called me to preach. Or the Apostle Paul put it this way. He said that God counted him faithful, putting him into the ministry. And I'm a firm believer that what God calls us to do, God equips us to do. I have a similar testimony to yours. I got saved when I was 5. My high school years, I drifted way away from the Lord, but I was under deep conviction. I was in, medium conviction during those high school years, but as soon as I graduated high school, as I got closer and closer to the age of 20, the conviction just intensified. And that last year before I surrendered and finally got right with the Lord, I was one miserable human being. And I'm a firm believer, and the Bible teaches it, that if you're a born-again Christian, and you're living out there in sin, if you're not miserable, then you're missing something, because the Bible teaches the Holy Spirit of God lives inside of those that have been born again. And I believe that I was born again, and I believe that that conviction that I was experiencing was coming from within. It wasn't necessarily sermons that I was listening to. It was the things that I already knew, and it was just the Holy Spirit inside of me that was making me miserable. So I got right with the Lord, and when that happened, my life changed so drastically and dynamically. The things that I was enduring going to church, now I'm enjoying, and I'm eating it up, and I want more. Whereas when I wasn't right with God, I couldn't wait for church to get over, after I got right with God, I was disappointed when it was over. You know, I wanted to hear more, and I just was soaking up the Word of God. And when I was a teenager, the thought came to my mind. My dad was pastoring a little church in Horseshoe Bend, Idaho, just outside of Boise, about 45 minutes to an hour drive outside of Boise. I think back then, before they put a new road in, it was maybe closer to an hour, hour and a half drive. Windy Road, little logging town, population of about 200 people. Dad's pastoring a little Baptist church there. I remember walking through the halls of that church. I don't know why I thought this, but I just kind of, my thoughts went toward heaven, and I just said, Lord, I hope you don't ever call me to preach. Now, I don't know why I said that. I don't think that I was discouraged at being a preacher's kid. I don't know why I said that. I just didn't want to be a preacher. Well, when I got right with the Lord, I pretty much thought that I had messed up my life too bad. I can't be a preacher. I just thought, well, I'm right with God, but I didn't really think that God would ever be able to use me. But I was in the volunteer category. I wanted to do something for God, but I had no idea that God would actually use me. And so what I did is I just surrendered to do whatever the Lord wanted. I said, Lord, you open the door, and I'm willing to walk through it. I'll stay, I'll go, I'll preach, I'll teach, I'll sing, or I'll just do nothing. Whatever you want, that is what I want. And that's the way I started living my life. And God had to confirm some things. He put a desire and then a gift, and that gift had to be developed over time. And, you know, the Bible says, prove all things. It's one thing for somebody to say, yeah, God called me to do this, or God, this is the will of God for my life. But we see so many times that people go and do things that ends up being just foolishness, and they blame it on God. Maybe they had an emotional experience, or maybe they're trying to do penance, or whatever the motive or reason behind it is, it just ends up to where it gives God and his reputation a black eye. I never wanted to do that. I gave God a big enough black eye when I was living out there in sin during my teenage years, and so I didn't want that. And so every missions conference, you know, missionaries are trying to get us to go and be a missionary. You know, in my heart, I didn't actually do this physically, but in my heart, I'm waving my arm. You know, here am I, Lord, send me. I'm in the volunteer category. But I never did feel that calling. And so I just was patient and did what you did. I just did whatever God gave me an opportunity to do, and God just worked it all out. And I'm very thankful that God does work when we just submit and surrender and just be faithful. And that's something I certainly appreciate about you, is just that faithfulness. So you pastored Diamond Hill, and what are some things that you learned, maybe some challenges that you had to go through? And obviously, you know, there's some of the challenges that we go through in ministry, some are very private and personal, I understand that, but some things that maybe you could help this younger preacher. Maybe there's some preachers out there, or maybe just some Christians that are going through some things that need to remember that the Lord is faithful and he'll get us through. Anything come to mind that you would say to me and our listeners as far as what to do when we embark on serving the Lord and doing something for God? We all know there's going to be some challenges in that. So what are your thoughts on that question?
Well, I have a lot of thoughts. The thing I want to preface it with is the amazing thing about God's timing, how he works in situations. I had not met my wife when I came back to the Lord's calling.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thankful I hadn't, because if she'd have known me during those rebellious years, she wouldn't have given me the time of the day. She was a good Christian girl.
Very, I mean, but, classy lady, I might also add.
Well, thank you. Yes, she was teaching Sunday school as a teenager. Very committed to the Lord. Well, I'd had a new experience with the Lord. I don't think salvation. I wrestled with that like you did, because I'd been so rebellious.
Mm-hmm.
But Diane was real committed to the Lord, and when I met her, I had just gone through a time of renewal and was excited about being in church and getting to start to do things in church. And she's the one that the Lord used to prompt me to go back to school. I can remember the day, Pastor, very clearly. I didn't think at the time it'd be something that'd stick in my mind so much. But I was working at McGuire Nuclear Station. Was going down Interstate 77 and praying as I was going down the road. And I can probably take you within a half a mile down about Mooresville. The roads have been changed some, but I'm sure I could get that close. I was praying, and I said, Lord, if there's anything that you could use in my life, I'd like to give it to you. And there was a sense of excitement about that, a sense of expectation. And that's when things started falling into place. Lord opening doors and providing, and Diane going back to work. And another amazing thing, if I was going to be gone all week, Diane's going to be working as an RN. She's a registered nurse, retired. Who's going to take care of these little kids? Diane's grandmother volunteered to come and live at our house during the week. So she would get up in the mornings, get the kids up, take care of the children. Diane go to work, I go to school. She'd be there for them when they got home. We couldn't have done it without her, but the timing was just right. Mm-hmm. So my advice to people is not to be reluctant, but also to be patient in the Lord's timing.
Mm-hmm.
If the Lord's convicting you about something, if there's something really on your heart and mind, give the Lord time to work it out. Give him time, but don't refuse to be looking at opportunities.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that those are the two pitfalls that I see in Christianity, and it's nothing new. I think it's always been this way. You have some people on one side that they're just going to sit, and nothing wrong with being faithful, going to church and just being there. But many of those people, God wants to do something with their life, something way more than they could even imagine. Ephesians 3:20 says that he is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. And so God wants to do something. So you have people over here that God wants to use, but they're not willing to be used. And then you have others that have surrendered to be used of God, and then they make a mess of things by not following God's timing, trying to force it, make it happen, being impatient. They become novices, and then the devil just wreaks havoc. And Brother Carl, you and I both know that the ministry, you know, Paul talked about the ministry not being blamed. Well, we look around us, and some of the most blameful things going on in ministry are from people who claim to be servants of God. And in many cases, it's because maybe they had pressure that they were feeling, or they were impatient, and then, you know, things go okay for the short term, but the long term, things end up a mess, and the end result is the loss of credibility among the pulpit, even the pew. And so the biggest source of credibility to the Bible and the gospel should be God's children. Sadly, in many cases, that's just the opposite. And that's why it's so important, especially for those of us who are behind a pulpit and claiming to be representatives of God and preaching his word, it is so important that we be found faithful. We're about coming up to our last break. Brother Carl, any last thoughts on that note before we go to break?
Well, I'm pretty slow talking. I'd run through into the break.
Well, you just talk up until the break. We'll pick up, and we can join this together like two boxcars on a train.
Well, one of the things you said did prompt this, and it's a very, very, very old saying, but it's still very true. A lot of people have enough of the world in them so much of the world that they're not happy in Christ.
Yeah.
And they've got enough Christ in them, or Christian influence, is that they're not happy in the world.
Yeah.
So they're miserable no matter which way they turn.
Yeah, I think the Bible calls that lukewarm, just a little bit of both. I want to talk more about that right after the break. That's a great thought, Brother Carl. Welcome back. Brother Carl, last segment we finished out talking about, you made a statement about a Christian who has just enough, has so much world in them that they're struggling because God's fighting against them, so to speak, and I'm not really saying it the same way you said it, but then they have just enough God in them that they're just not fitting in anywhere. And it reminded me of that story about, and I don't know if it's true, but in the Civil War, there was a young man that was in the battle, and he didn't want to get shot, and so he had this idea, I'm just going to wear blue pants and a gray coat, and so they won't know what side I'm on, and so nobody will shoot me. And the opposite is what happened. Both sides were shooting at him. And that is so true, and that is biblical, by the way. It says in the book of Galatians, chapter number 5, it says, for the flesh lusteth against the spirit. That's a capital S. So as believers, the Spirit of God lives inside of us. Our old nature, the flesh, is lusting against, it's fighting, it's battling against the Spirit of God. And then it says, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to the other. We like our comfort. And so many believers just want to be comfortable. They don't want conflict. They don't want a battle. They don't want a struggle. And the fact of the matter is if we are born-again Christians, there's going to be a battle. There is no escape from the battle. If you yield to the flesh, then the Spirit of God's going to be convicting you and battling and striving with you. If you yield to the Spirit, then the flesh is going to be fighting against that. And so if there's going to be a conflict, we might as well accept that. And the best thing that we can do is say, who do we want to win? Do we want the flesh or do we want the Spirit of God to win? Let's side with the Spirit of God. And the Bible says if we'll walk in the Spirit, then we won't fulfill the lusts of the flesh. That's in Galatians 5 also. And so you have been preaching God's Word. You've been ministering for many years. As we were talking about just a little while ago, you've been a huge encourager. I want to say publicly that just what a blessing you've been to me personally. Times when I've got done preaching and beaten myself up, feel like I just did a horrible job, and you have what appeared to be given a sincere compliment or feedback, and only God knows how much that has been an encouragement. And I know you're not a flatterer, and I know that you're not insincere. If it's not true, you're not going to say it. And so because I have that confidence in your integrity, then that feedback that's positive is truly encouraging. Otherwise, I just dismiss it. Oh, he's just saying that because I did a horrible job and he wants me to feel better about it. But seriously, you've been an encouragement to me, and you have worked with people throughout the years trying to help them in this battle. We see it all around us, Brother Carl, people who claim to be Christians, but they just got so much world in them, living after the flesh. And if they're saved, they're miserable inside. And I wish that we could get through to people. Maybe somebody's listening today that would make that decision like you and I both did and listen to God and say, you know what? I'm tired of this battle. I'm tired of losing it. I want to get on God's side. What would you say to folks in that situation?
Well, the thought came to mind is I've seen people that said, well, I'll try Christianity. I'll give that a try. You can't try it. God's not going to save you if you're just trying him.
Mm-hmm.
You have to surrender. you have to accept Christ. You have to be born again. Now, you can try going to church. You can be a searcher. Some people call a searcher. You can try that. But when it comes to being a born-again Christian, it's surrender. I'm reminded of a pastor from Romania that said, you know, things are a little different in Romania than the United States. He said, in the United States, I hear people saying, I have decided to follow Jesus. He said, in Romania, we sing, I surrender all. Mm-hmm. And there's nothing wrong in making a decision to decide Jesus, but that really resonated with me. To really have victory, you have to surrender. You have to accept Christ. You have to be born again. Mm-hmm. If you try Jesus, you go end up in discouraging times. You go end up thinking, this is not working for me. So my advice to everyone listening is that if you're struggling, give it to Jesus. Mm-hmm. Surrender. It'll be a battle. Mm-hmm. It'll be a battle. The old flesh will want to win you back to their way of its way of thinking. That's the thought that came to mind.
Well, God is trustworthy, and to get born again, we have to trust Him. And
right.
That is a surrender. Truly trusting Him means that we're letting go of our own control. We're not trying God out. We are giving it all to Him, and then and only then do we get born again. Brother Sammy Allen, a preacher, he is in heaven now, but he was out of Georgia, and every time I ever heard him preach, he would talk about Christians and different churches say, well, we had three decisions. And he said, we don't need any decisions. We need conversions. And he meant that. And that is truly what is needed, is we need conversions, people being born again. And you cannot straddle the fence. You know, after you get born again, yeah, you can go back to the fence, but you're never going to be happy. But in order to get born again, it requires some surrender. I'm not saying that it's works, and I'm not saying that it's a lordship salvation. I'm just saying that truly trusting means you can't hold on with your left hand to the world or your own willpower and then grab God in the right hand. You got to turn loose and grab a hold of God with both hands and trust what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary, plus nothing, minus nothing. Call it surrender, call it an abandonment of self, call it total trust, whatever. You know, you have to believe with all of your heart. And when you believe with the heart, there is a commitment that's associated to that as being real, genuine faith. So what else would you say about that, Brother Carl?
Well, there's a lot that could be and needs to be said. But my prayer in these trying times is to be steadfast. I feel the pressure, as a lot of people do, that there's a lot of wickedness, there's a lot of crime, there's a lot of false teachings, and it's easy to get discouraged. Mm-hmm. So I keep praying, Lord, help me stay strong. I can't keep myself strong. I don't consider myself a strong person in the flesh, but God's strong, Christ is strong, the Holy Spirit's strong. And that's my thoughts on that, is just stick with it. If you feel yourself slipping, as the psalmist said, my foot near slipped, and we all probably feel that from time to time, that's time to get serious with God. That's time to be true, to be honest. The greatest thing you can do in that respect is be real with God. Mm-hmm. Be real. Don't be superficial. Be genuine.
Yeah. I say this all the time, and it is worth repeating, that we will never get right until we get real. And we can't get real with God until we get real with ourselves. I mean, we have to accept who we really are. And repentance is very much like just admitting that, God, you're right, I'm wrong. I'm taking your side against myself. That's really what repentance is all about, and that's where conversion comes into play. We are living in a day where there is a lot of wickedness all around us. We know that we're in the last days. You talk to any Christian, they look around and say, this has got to be the last day. The Lord's coming back. The rapture could take place anytime. I believe that with all of my heart. 1 Corinthians 15 talks about that rapture. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Just a few verses later, it says, be ye therefore steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And so we have an admonition not to just sit around and wait for Jesus to come back, but to be steadfast and unmovable. And what this world needs is for God's people, God's representatives, to have some stability and some credibility. We're about out of time. Any last thoughts, Brother Carl?
Well, I've enjoyed being with you today for a brand
Likewise.
New experience. It's been an enjoyable experience. And I got a long story that I could tell about ending up at Temple, but I'm glad we're there. I'm glad there's a place to serve, a place to hear people preach the word. You've got the most incredible ministry there with you being a pastor and so many good preachers, and the youth program and children programs is second to none. And I haven't been in a lot of churches, but I've been in enough to know that it's really, really good. And thank you for the privilege to be here today.
Well, we'll have you back on this broadcast, and you can tell about how the Lord providentially brought you to Temple. And as we close, I just want to say thank you for who you are. Appreciate you and Sister Diane. You're a huge blessing to Temple. Folks, if you're not saved, get saved. If you don't have a Bible-believing church, come and visit us at Temple Baptist Church. God bless you.
We appreciate you taking the time to join us at Salt and Light. It is our desire that you experience the joy of following Jesus Christ. He loves you, and He died on the cross for your sins. He will give you hope, peace, and eternal life if you will repent of your sins and trust Him as your Savior. You may see yourself as a good person, but you will never be good enough to deserve heaven. You may see yourself as bad, but you can never be too bad for Jesus to forgive you. You can call upon Him to save you this very moment. If you are a born-again Christian, we want to encourage you to obey Christ's command and be salt and light to those around you. We encourage you to find a Bible-believing church that does not compromise or water down the Bible, and get involved serving the Lord. If you have a Bible question or a particular issue you would like us to discuss on Salt and Light, visit our website at templebaptistnc.com. Click on the Salt and Light link. Once again, that's templebaptistnc.com. May the Lord bless you. We hope you'll join us again next week.